This is HICF Ministries. We pride ourselves as a home away from your home country, a home away from your heavenly home, a home where Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Yes, it's a home where the living word is shared word for word in truth and in love. You are invited to stay tuned. Listen to the Word of Life brought to you by HICF Ministries. And now, Reverend Dr. John Dickey.
The treasure you treasure most will influence your life. Think about that question. Can you name it? So likewise, the second question to rate. Next slide. What you value, treasure most in your life is what you ought to love most. What you value, what you treasure most in your life, what you treasure most in your life is what you ought to love, what you should love most, true or false. You can just mumble to your friend and say, yeah, it's true, it's false. Which one do you pick? Which one? Come on, talk to your brother and sister. I'm giving you an opportunity. They are not strangers, all right? This is not asking about your privacy or an issue, okay? What you value, treasure most in your life is what you ought to love most. I understand that some of you that like some vain arguments, exercising your so-called wisdom that profited nothing. You will say, you know, it all depends, this question. It all depends on that or that thing, on this or that thing. Yeah, sometimes you know in a season I treasure something most. In another season, it's different. I am talking about life destiny values. I'm not talking about seasonal things. Stop fooling yourself. We are talking about matters of destiny after you die. What is it that matters most in your life? What is it that you value? Those two questions, while you dwell on them, I want to refresh ourselves how we came about these questions on the theme of inquiring of the Lord. We talked about it maybe for 2 weeks, and I'm not yet done because the Lord is holding me. There is some message for somebody. And if you recall, I've not given you bullet points 1, 2, 3, 4 as a, you know, typical sermon. But last week, some of you mentioned some of the ways how to require of the Lord. We were on that topic, safer to always inquire of the Lord, however, and we know what that however ends up. There are a few things as a recap. We talked about the best place to inquire, what was it that happened, what is happening, and what should happen. The best place you can go is go to the Lord. I'm not saying that you cannot refer to the archives, historical facts. They are good. But we are talking about spiritual matters. what concerns your past generation, this one, and what will happen eventually, you go into the presence of God, because He is one that created everything and determines everything from the beginning. And then we said, talking about, is it everything, every time you have to inquire of the Lord? We spoke about that. But most importantly, we also talked about, are you an inquirer of God? Are you an inquirer of God? Well, the Word of God tells me in Proverbs 25:2, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search is for you and me, His children. And when you look at 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. And 1 Corinthians 10:13, in everything that you do, do all to the glory of God, whether you eat or drink. Ephesians talked about putting the whole armor of God. This potentially is telling us to be inquirers of God at all times. So, and from there, we went on to the issue of how to inquire of the Lord rightly. And that's what I'm going to dwell a bit today. But when I started that, I kind of deviated a bit to talk about some certain warnings in the Word of God. Amen? And we look at those warnings. It says, be warned, sin. What is sin? Disobedience. Any disobedience is a sin to God. Sin, you can name them, idolatry, immorality, sexual immorality, whatever it is, gossiping and other things, can be hindrance to you inquiring of the Lord. We saw that in Ezekiel, when God said, when you have those things that you have not repented, you come to me, He said, I will not let you inquire of me, declares the sovereign Lord. So very good warning there, and you know what happened to those Israelites? God even punished them. Then we went to the aspect of King Ahab, who wanted to inquire of the Lord, but he had his own intent in heart. So each ear will hear what it wants to hear. All right? And today that we are, in our days, we have people, churches that will preach to please the congregation. You can go to such a church that the message will fit your narrative, but here your narrative will have to fit into the narrative of God in HICF. Somebody say amen. Word for word, okay? You don't want to hear the truth. You are predetermined, and then you want to just go into the Lord and say you have prayed how many times, but where is your heart? God says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with what? Wrong motives. God weighs the heart. God knows the intent of what? The heart. God knows the intent of the heart, the motives of the heart, the wrong motives. And that's why you don't receive. You remember Israelites, you know, sometimes pride, how Israelites were defeated all right? They thought they have defeated Jericho, the walls came down, Ai is a small place, let us go and take it over. But there was something that happened, a hidden sin, Achan's sin. He coveted the things that the Lord said he should not. Sometimes it's good to be your brother's keeper. How could have Achan done that without anybody seeing? Sometimes when there is wrong in the church, you turn your face to the other side. Believe you me, one sin can affect every person. All right? So it's good to be your brother's keeper. You are not the policeman. But if you have good relationship with that person, encouraging, strengthening one another, it will influence things. Say, hey, brother, why do you want to take that? You know, what is it? Can we talk about it? sharing and encouraging than just pointing fingers. You see, that guy is bad. You are helping to make him bad if you don't talk to him in the way the Lord asks you to talk to him. Somebody say amen. Don't be complacent. Party to the sins of your brother and you say you don't know. We are our brother's keeper. Amen. Don't only be a keeper when it is a bad thing. All right? Hallelujah. Amen. So we went. Also, there is that from those warnings today, I looked over. And here it is, another warning. Be careful with the supposed yes from the Lord after you have supposedly inquired of him. Be careful. Be careful with the supposed yes. You went to inquire of the Lord and you came out and you said, the Lord said, the Lord revealed. Be careful. And believe you me, you could have heard him say yes. And then you will be saying, did the Lord lie? Did the Lord deceive you? No, you deceive yourself because you want to be deceived. Somebody say amen. Your itchy ear wanted to hear something from the Lord, and the Lord who reads the intent of your heart answered your heart. Let's go to Judges chapter 20. Judges chapter 20. I'll not read. It's a big story there, so I'll just give some excerpts there so that we can quickly look at it and see what God is speaking to us this afternoon. This is battle between the Israelites and the Benjamites. I guess if you are reading your word of God, you should know the background story. All right? You know, these Benjamites did something, you know, wrong to the... You know, these Benjamites, Israelites, one family, you understand? All right? An Israelite was traveling with his concubine, and then he went somewhere. These Benjamites in the night came and, you know, raped her in Israelite camp. In Israelite camp, people of God. All right? So, and when the Israelites heard about that, hey, let's read. Let's read, okay? And the background here, we have about the Israelites have, you know, the military might of the United States. There is none like that in the world, okay? If you want to know the Navy SEALs, whatever they are, the ground troops, whatever, specialists with all their gadgets, well equipped, about 400,000 military, well armed, able. And look at the Benjamins, how many? 26. Mathematicians, all right? Take the ratio and see. And they have 700 able young men that they are leftists. When they swing, they can hit a piece of hair. That's the Bible. Go read it. The Bible can exaggerate, you know? That when they fling that, they are leftists, they don't miss. Even if it is just a piece of hair that you hang, they will hit it. Don't. It's not so much exaggeration. When David used his own, it went here. What is the chances? When God is with you, you can hit. Say amen. All right? So what happened here quickly? The Israelites went up to Bethel and inquired of God. Isn't that a good thing? Yeah. Be warned. What did I say? Be careful. They said, who of us is going up for us to fight against the Benjamites? The Lord replied, the Lord even told them, Judah shall go first. And when they went to the battle line, 20,000 fell, were killed. First encounter. (sighs) they were disheartened. 23, the Israelites went up and wept before the Lord until evening. And they inquired of the Lord. They say, shall we go up to fight against the Benjamites, our fellow Israel? What did the Lord say? Go up against them. Can you imagine you went to the Lord literally and the Lord is saying yes to you first time. Then you suffered casualties. Things just turned up against you. The thing that you are hoping that the door will be open, it was closed. You are thinking that matter will be solved, it was not solved. Then you say, took courage, brother, be encouraged, you know, persist, pray until something happens, okay? You went and prayed again, you waited on the Lord, you fasted, and the Lord said, yes, go. And what happened? 18,000 failed again. How will you have felt? You will abandon God, right? But the question is, you abandon God, then to who will you go to? To who will you, who will deliver you? You don't want this God, then who will do it? And that's why Peter said, where shall we go? You are, yeah. Get that conviction in your heart, no matter how the Lord deals with you, come back on him. Are we together? It doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't make sense. It was the Lord telling them, go. What other sense do you want? It was not like a vision. They suffered physical casualties. All right? Let's go. They didn't know what to do. So they went back to the Lord again. Next slide. Is it the next slide? Then all the Israelites, the whole army, went up to Bethel, and there they sat weeping before the Lord. They fasted what? That day until evening, and presented what? Burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Oh, they know what to do. They should have done the first in the first place. All right. Fellowship offerings to the Lord, and the Israelites inquire of the Lord. In those days, the Ark of the Covenant. You know, mentioning these things should begin to help you to think. This was the right ways. The Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God with them. All right? Of God was there with Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, ministering before. So the need of a priest, this thing. They asked, shall we go up again to fight against the Benjamites, our fellow Israelites, or not? And the Lord answered, go, for tomorrow I will give them into your hand. Somebody say amen. Amen. On that day, 25,000 Benjamites, swordsmen, fell, all of them valiant fighters, but 600, if 25, how many did we say? 26, can you imagine that? And out of that, how many? 600 of them turned and fled into the wilderness to the rock of Rimmon, where they stayed for months. The men of Israel went back to Benjamin and pulled all the towns, and put rather all the towns to the sword, including the animals and everything else they found. All the towns they came across, they set on fire. So, what happened that the Lord answered them in the first two places, go, and they suffered casualties? That's your problem to find out. When you truly want to seek the Lord, to inquire of the Lord what is happening in your life, you will. Those that seek me and seek me with all their heart, they will what? They will find me. Let's stop playing games, gimmicks, all right? Don't stop playing with your life. You don't know what is happening, it's a lie. If you don't know what is happening, remain what? Steadfast. Don't sin. Hallelujah. Right. Wherever we stop, all right? Amen? Hallelujah. Why did the Lord, next slide, say yes to the Israelites? Is that slide go up before that? Okay, right. Why did the Lord say yes to the Israelites? Next, yeah. Before then, I want to say something here. You remember Saul was made king. They inquire of the Lord. They want a king. The Lord gave them a king. Was the Lord happy to give them a king? No, he didn't. But they insisted. Next slide, let me see. Right. Oh, no, not this slide. Did I give you wrong this thing sometimes? Yeah, go back. There was something I wanted to remember to say. You see, sometimes there was one moment in the house when Mom and Jessica were having something, and then she said, yeah, no, hold that one. So she, Mommy was quarreling Jessica, and then about something, say, you don't know where to keep it, this and that, and then Mom said, you should know where to keep it. You don't know where to keep it. Jessica said, I don't know. Say, come and put it on my head. And Jessica stood up and wanted to go and put it on her head. And Jesse was there. Say, are you out of your mind? You are expected to use your common sense to think. This is what happened with the Benjamites. The Benjamites committed lewd and outrageous act in Israel. All the men rose up together as one after they have heard this guy. What happened? What this guy that they raped his concubine, and you know, killed her. So what he did was to divide her outrageous things himself, cut them into pieces, cut the wife into pieces, and send them to all the Israelites town. So anger arose and they came together, and he told them. So it was verse 8, their reaction. All the men rose up together as one, saying, none of us will go home. No, not one of us will return to his house. But now this is what we will do to Gibeah. We will go up against it in the order decided by casting lots. We will take 10 men out of every 100 from all the tribes of Israel, and 100 from 1,000, and 1,000 from 10,000 to get provision for the army. Then when the army arrives in Gibeah and in Benjamin, it can give them what they deserve for this outrageous act done in Israel. So all the Israelites got together and united as one against the city. This is what they planned. This is their decision. You see, the issue here is, and get it very clear, the Benjamites did something wrong, outrageous. Do we agree? They did something wrong. They sinned against who? Not against Israelites. They sinned against who? God. Every sin that you sin first is to God, not to man. Remember Joseph? What he told Potiphar's wife? If I do this, it's against God, against Potiphar, against me, against my testimony. That's why we always say, don't put God to shame. Don't put your family to shame. Lastly, don't put yourself to shame. So be careful how you respond to any wrong done to you. You don't choose sometimes in life your challenge, But you can choose how you respond to what happens to you. And that's where the Lord will hold you accountable. It's very important for us to understand that aspect of it. They've done something wrong, but how you respond to the wrong done to you is very important. Think about that. Your flesh may quickly react, depending on your maturity. They've already planned it. That is what is in their heart. We will teach them a lesson. God understands. He saw the intent of their heart. The thing is, whatever that you want to respond, does it align with the will of God? Why did the Bible say vengeance is mine? Be wise to examine what? Your motives. Is the Lord in it? Maybe you will want to go the Gideon way of confirming over and over if this is the Lord's will for you. Did you seek counseling? Did you pray with somebody? Did you call your leader group, your cell group leader? Or a member in your cell group? It's everybody that you suspect in the cell group, so you don't trust anybody except yourself. That's why you remain with that problem. Are there no more Joshuas and Calebs in our generation? That the whole group, the whole nation are saying, this is what we'll do. Some people, there are no people to voice out and say, no, hold it. What are we doing? So the whole thing that I'm trying to say, the Lord reads the intent of your heart. Go to the next slide, next two slides, okay? Go to the next two slides. This is the point. He agreed, he knew the intent of their heart when the Lord fed them, and it was prophesied, when you go into that land, do not say we want a king. The Lord reads the intent of the heart. So be careful with what you think God has answered you. It says, further, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved, a reprobate, degenerated heart, confused heart, corrupted mind, so that they can do what ought not to be done. Be careful. If the Lord gives up on you, you can do the unthinkable. That's why it says, guard your steps when you come into the house of the Lord. Don't open your mouth anyhow. Think twice. You know, some of the things that you think the Lord has answered you, you are just answering yourself in your closet. The Bible says, as a dream comes through many thoughts, so the speech of a fool. What is stuck in your mind, what is that is your mindset, is what will be playing back. You go into prayers and fasting only to answer yourself. Next slide. What is it in your, what is it you value, treasure most in your life? What you value, treasure most in your life is what you ought to love most. True or false is the question I asked from the beginning. Is it possible, what, no matter how you want to look at it, what you ought to love? You will say there are certain things, you know, yeah, I treasure them, but I don't necessarily love them. Well, what I'm trying to tell you is this. What you value or treasure most in your life is what you ought to love most, and you should do your utmost to have it or acquire it and protect it. Matthew, let's go to the next slide. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. We're trying to redefine love with this question. Love is not about emotion or feelings. Love is about the truth, a decision, a commitment to what is true, not about emotion or feeling. So what is the most valuable thing that has consequential impact hereafter? That is what you should love. It's not talking about emotions or feelings here. You are to love most, and you should do your utmost to have it, acquire it, as well protect it. The Bible tells me in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. That's what you should treasure most, the reality. Mark chapter 8, verse 36-38, for what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? In other words, what will you exchange your soul for? So we are talking about reality of what love is, that what you treasure most that has eternal value is what you should focus on. Love utmost what will save your soul from eternal condemnation. Your most treasured treasure will inevitably influence your day-to-day decision. So look at it. Don't deceive yourself. This season, I have what I love most. Another season, we are talking about destiny. That you should protect and love that. And what is that? What is your most valuable treasure in life? Salvation in Christ Jesus. That is what should be your treasure. That is what you should love most. In difficult times and in bad times, you hold on to that reality. No matter what happened, why will the Lord say yes to you? You know things are not going well in your life, and then suddenly something good happened to you. Oh, the Lord provided. Some of the miracles we are testifying, they are the same miracles. Even those that don't know God, they are having it. We call it common grace. First Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. If you can have that scriptures, I have it here on a slide. The Lord searches every heart and understands the intent of every thought. The God not only reads your thought, he waits their intention. Do not be like them. Matthew chapter 6 verse 8. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask. So Lord reads your intent. He knows your heart. If there is anything, it says in James chapter 4 verse 15, instead you ought to say, if the Lord is willing, we will live and do this and do that. Some of you are good in saying, you know, the Lord, my conscience is clear, therefore I'm free, my conscience is clear, my intentions are good. I want to tell you, they are not good enough. Amen? They are not good enough. Be careful in boasting, my conscience is clear, therefore I'm free of any judgment. I want to tell you what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Brothers and sisters, be careful with the answers that you want to hear when you go into prayers. The Lord searches every heart and understands the intent of every thought. And therefore, the Lord may answer according to the intent of your heart. And don't come back saying, the Lord deceived you. No, he is answering you. The Israelites asked for a king, he gave them a king. The Israelites want to go to war because something wrong is done. They did not seek the Lord. They thought on themselves, we will go do and do this. The Bible says, you fool. You should instead say, if the Lord is willing, we will live and do this or do that. So reconsider what is of most value in your life. That is the thing that you should love. The most valuable thing in our lives is the gift of salvation. Secure it, protect it, live by it. It will influence your day-to-day decision. Let's bow our heads.